It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, a mix of mystery, comedy, and song, as the Lux Radio Theater adapts the 1949 motion picture Top of the Morning. Originally starring Anne Blythe, Barry Fitzgerald, Hume Cronin, and Bing Crosby, we'll hear the capable singer of the Jack Benny program, Dennis Day, take over the part Crosby played, which at the time turned out to be a big year for Bing Crosby at the movies, as he starred as Hank Martin and a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, and also as the narrator in Walt Disney's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. The story, based on the screenplay by co-writer of the Jack Benny program, Ed Beloine, was broadcast on the Lux Radio Theater on March 17, 1952, on CBS.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Dennis Day, Anne Blythe, and Barry Fitzgerald in Top of the Morning. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, and the Top of the Morning. For quite a few years, we've been looking forward to St. Patrick's Day and the Lux Radio Theater falling on the same day, because we wanted to bring you one of those charming, whimsical tales that only the Irish can tell, chock full of will-o'-the-wisps, the little people, and the wearing of the green. And as our stars of tonight's enchanting romance from Paramount Pictures, we have Dennis Day singing the songs of old Erin to that delightful Colleen Anne Blythe. And because we should have at least one Irishman who's kissed the Blarney Stone, that grand character actor, Barry Fitzgerald. Now, Top of the Morning.
My name's Joe Mulqueen. Oh, it's a good Irish name, all right, but the closest I'd ever been to Ireland is a paid-up membership card in the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick and the Fife and Shillelagh Marching Club. The closest, that is, until a couple of weeks ago. You see, I happen to work for the Manhattan Insurance Company, and one day the boss called me in.
I just got a cablegram, Joe. Another big theft. They filed a claim for $500,000. How well do you get along with the Irish?
Well, I root for Notre Dame regularly. Why?
Because you're taking the next plane for Ireland.
Well, why pick on me? What do I know about Ireland?
Well, your mother came from there, didn't she?
Well, that's no advantage.
And the only other man available is Manny Epstein.
That's no advantage either.
Now, the theft of the stone was reported a few hours ago in Cork.
What kind of stone?
The Blarney Stone.
Hey, what are you trying to give me?
I know, it's crazy, but we're stuck for $500,000.
But, boss, you can't insure a thing like the Blarney Stone.
We did. And the point is, we can't afford that kind of loss. Your tickets and expense money are outside. Now, here, 6 pages of notes. You can read all about it on the plane. Now, get going.
And when I get there?
Check with the Cork police. A fellow named Inspector Fallon. Don't let anyone else know who you are. Just be friendly, mix with the people, and find that Blarney Stone.
Sheila August Carlange.
Meaning what?
That's Gaelic. I think it means, here comes the British. Well, ich will das ein später der, Dorton, boss.
Keep in touch, see? And keep those reports coming in.
Well, according to the notes, the theft had been reported to the village police force consisting of 2 men, Sergeant Brian E. McNaughton and Officer Huey Devine.
Oh, it's all too true, Huey. The Blarney Stone has disappeared. And as the legal arm of this village, we belong at the scene of the crime. Now go fetch a bicycle.
Hey, look, Briony, look. Half the village is coming to hear you verify the circumstances.
No. Get back to your business and let Huey and me attend to our own.
Briony, the stone is gone from the castle.
Aye.
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. There'll be no more gift to the Blarney.
Oh, a speechless world. Oh, it's a sparkling calamity.
Hey, Briony, look. Your daughter.
Morning, Con.
Morning, Huey. I brought your lunch early, Father.
Take it back, girl. Too much to do today.
Oh, then it's really gone, just as the legend said.
Oh, aye, indeed, that someday the Blarney Stone will be stolen. Oh. And there will follow strange accidents and unhappy deeds.
Oh. Don't wait up for me, Con. I'm a busy man today. Now, out of me way there, out of me way.
Oh, you'll be proud of your father now, Con.
Oh, yes, it's a large day for Briony McNaughton. Oh, for 30 years there's been no such time.
That's right, Con, that's right.
This is the proof of Bryony.
Ah, yes. A chance for him to be looked up to for his share of time. And that's a small wish. Oh, find it, Father. Find the stone.
Come along, Huey. Over here by the castle steps. Now, it's footprints we're looking for.
Ah, footprints. Oh, she, you've got a vast treasure between your ears, Bryony. A supreme brain.
Aye, yes.
Hey, Bryony, there's footprints. Look.
Divine, those are my footprints.
Good morning, Sergeant.
Inspector Fallon. Well, we got things started,
sir. Divine, rope off this entire area before it's turned into a picnic ground.
Yes, sir. Immediate, sir.
And what about me, sir? Now, I could either...
Go back to the village, Bryony.
But the case, sir, the terrible theft.
You operate under the police department of the city of Cork. You got no jurisdiction here. Now, you'll do us more good if you attend to your own job.
You mean that I can't help,
sir? I'm sorry, McNaughton, but we'll be moving too fast for an old man to keep up.
An old man?
Well, maybe not. But who'd bet you'd have the price of another sunrise? Now, please, McNaughton, you'd better go back.
Yes, sir. Not the price of another sunrise. And that from a little man who weighs no more than an echo. Well, I'll stay on the case, and I'll solve it. I'll solve it if it's the last thing I do.
Well, the case was still wide open when I reached Cork. First, I checked in with Inspector Fallon, then I bought a lot of oil paints and a canvas and headed for the village. En route, I spent an hour or two at Blarney Castle, then I paid a week's rent at the local Waldorf and spread the word around that I was an artist. I wandered over to the first meadow I saw and set up the easel. As expected, it wasn't too long before I had an audience.
Would it be right, sir, to say you're a painter of things?
Of course he's a painter. The brush is the proof.
Oh, hiya, men. Well, I'm glad to see you appreciate the finer things.
It is a picture, is it?
Well, sure it is. Thought I captured the scene rather well myself. Trees, cows, the river. Oh, well, I guess I'll be going back to the village now.
Can we help you?
Swell. You grab the easel and the art critic here can carry the paint box.
The brushes are full of paint, sir. It's a great mess.
Oh, the brushes. Well, where can I wash them?
There's a little river, sir, at the end of your nose.
Well, let's mosey over, shall we? Say, that robbery created quite a stir around here, hmm?
And the evil deeds begin already.
Already have 6 cattle died of no cause at all.
Mm. And there's the man who sneezed.
Sneezed? Is that bad?
Well, sneezing is one thing. But would you not say it odd for a man to sneeze without closing his eyes?
Oh, the blinding grief has started for certain.
Well, I'm sure sorry, fellas. Meanwhile, let me wash out my brushes.
It's the madness of color you've made of this thing, sir.
Oh, that? Well, that's the palette. Give it to me. I'll take my knife and scrape the paint off. Well, now. And who do we have over there?
Con McNaughton, sir. Doing her washing, as any proper girl should.
It is said, sir, that the stream of Donalduris is surely the fairest place alive to wash, or to wish.
Is that a fact?
Sir, would you be cleaning our paints, or would you be standing at Con in her laundry work?
Oh, yeah. Let's get going here.
Now she's staring at him.
And coming this way.
I'm Con McNaughton. And who are you?
Joe McQueen. Oh, my, what a doll.
Aye, there's little to match the beauty of Con McNaughton.
And now would you have anything else to say?
Just amen.
Oh, you're American, then?
How can you tell?
Oh, it was easy, since they're the only ones who know just the tail end of a prayer. Oh, I see. America, the Land's End.
I beg your pardon?
And the knife in his hand.
Oh, I forgot to clean it. I'll be right with you.
Here's his knife.
If it's blood you're thinking of, it's only red paint, such as his cow is made of.
Oh, I'm pondering on other matters, Pierce O'Neill. The prophecy. The prophecy is related by Biddy O'Devlin.
What prophecy, Con?
Oh, being a boy, you wouldn't know, but a prophecy that has come to Biddy down through the ages. Oh, help me with my bundle, Pierce. Hurry.
Hey, what's the rush? What's she talking about? Who's Biddy?
And what's this prophecy?
You'll have to ask Con McNaughton, sir, if you can catch her.
Well, I will. I will.
You'd better wait for another time. It's in her mind now. And as any fool knows, The mind of a woman is a dreadful thing to dwell upon.
Even in Ireland, huh? Well, I went back to the village, but I'd no more than hit Main Street when the law closed in. Yep. Bryony McNaughton and Huey Devine hustled me straight to the hoosegow.
Now then, Mr. McQueen, suppose you tell us just what you were doing exactly hanging around Blarney Castle this morning.
Oh, that. Well, you see, I was painting. You know, pictures. Go ahead and take a look at him.
Hey, he's painted something here, Bryony. Oh, it's a thing of great confusion.
Yeah. Take a look, Sarge. I rather think I've got something there, don't you? Note the expression on the cow's face. Treat it in profile, you see.
Tell me, you paid money to learn to do this?
It was a gift from heaven.
Well, I'd leave the church. Now, I'll give you one more chance. What are you doing in this village?
Look, I just told you, Sarge, but if you're going to run your jail this way, I'll just have to take my business someplace else.
All right, Devine, lock him up.
Lock me up? Oh, now, look, fellas, on what charge?
Vagrancy's enough. And to that, add invading the privacy of the cove.
Oh, Bryony, that's a gigantic reply.
I didn't think it was so big.
Yes, and you can stay in there until you're ready to answer some questions.
Like, for instance?
Telling us your name's Mulqueen. Now, supposing you tell us your real name.
That is my real name, Joe Mulqueen.
They say the true check is in a man's face.
Well, in this case, it's hard to tell you, because there's practically nothing in it.
Look, first you toss me in the pokey, and now you tell me I'm not Irish. Look, fellas, I got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, I'll interrogate you further when you've had time to think things over.
Hey, Bryony, you left your concertina there in the cell. Uh-oh, we're about to hear a tune played.
Another gift from heaven, I suppose.
As beautiful Kitty one morning was dripping with a pitcher of milk from the fair of Coleraine, when she saw me, she stumbled, the pitcher it tumbled, and all the sweet buttermilk spilled on the plain. She said to me, you know, ah, what shall I do now? Sure, such a pitcher I'll ne'er meet again. 'Twas the pride of my dairy, oh, Barney McClary, your scent has a plague on the girls of Coleraine. I sat down beside her and gently did chide her that such a misfortune should give her such pain. A kiss then I gave her, and there I did leave her. She'd vowed for such pleasure she'd break it again. 'Twas haymaking season, I can't tell the reason, misfortunes will never come single, 'tis plain. Far very soon after poor Kitty's disaster, the devil a pitcher was left in Coleraine.
A song like a civilized angel, Huey.
So that was a sweet noise, Bryony.
Go on, Huey, open the door.
Huh? Let him out?
Yeah. What about the charges, Bryony?
Oh, I just dismissed them.
Bryony, isn't he the tender lad?
Joe, listen, after hearing you sing, I've decided you've been telling the truth. Now, what are your plans for tonight?
Well, I was going to bed early. You see, I thought I'd take my brushes and catch the sunrise.
We're having a party at our house tonight. Would you care to come? I said, would you care to come?
Hey, Bryony, the lad's studying the picture on your desk. The picture of Con.
Yeah, she's me daughter, Joe. Looks just like me.
Your daughter, huh? I just canceled the sunrise.
Good. And about tonight, just ask for the house of Bryony McNaughton. You can't miss it.
You know, Sarge, you've been pretty nice at that. Yep. I may even do your portrait someday.
Oh, no.
Lots of character there. It's spread all over.
Oh, Bryony, he likes you.
You have a nice face, too.
And so sweetly disposed, Bryony. Not a word or approach for arresting him.
I can see that you were tricked by my plan, too. Do you know what I think of John McQueen? I think he's our man.
No.
Yes. First, the Blarney Stone is stolen.
Then out of the morning, a stranger comes with no explanation except that he paints pictures you'd be ashamed to hang in your broom closet. Now, what do the facts suggest?
Ah, Briony, it was your poise that tricked him. Now, what's our plan?
To fool him with friendship till we find some evidence. So tonight, while he's at the party, you'll be at the hotel searching the zoo.
Oh, Briony, your intellect's loaded with molecules.
Ah, well, no, I wouldn't say that, Huey. But on certain things, Briony McNaughton doesn't have to be bitten by a fox, oh, no.
Meanwhile, I'd gone back to the hotel, plugged in the dictaphone machine, and proceeded to dictate my first report on the case of the missing Blarney Stone. Proceeding at once to the village, where things started getting a little rough. Seems like everybody in town's a little wacky. Anyway, the officer in charge is a cute old codger named McNaughton. Doesn't have much talent, though. I doubt if he could find the curve in a pretzel if you furnished him with a blueprint. But he's a sweet old man. Leaving soon for a party at his home. We'll advise further tomorrow. Signed, Joe Mulqueen. Oh, P.S. If anybody steals one of the pyramids, Manny Epstein's your man. Well, that night I went over to Briony's house for the party. Frankly, I was hoping to make a little time with his daughter. But when I got there, Con was having a session with an old lady who sat in the corner.
Oh, and what happened today, Biddy O'Devil, not would frighten a star.
As the wisest woman in 9 counties, I've already heard.
Then it has been fulfilled, the first condition of the prophecy.
Well, to give you a definite answer, Con, it all depends. On the other hand, there's the second condition.
Oh, tell me, Biddy. Tell me again.
That he shall come to your house in a coat of Glenany and sing like the imprisoned bird of Connemara.
Biddy.
Well, girl?
There he is, talking with Father. And his court's as green as the map of Ireland. Not only that, he's... Oh, Biddy, look, here they come.
This way, Joe, this way. Biddy O'Devlin, this is Joe Mulqueen. I have him for my friend.
Good evening.
He has a generous face, Briony.
And you've already met me daughter?
Ah, oh, we did, Father, this afternoon.
Then run for the beer con, I'm dying.
Ah, oh, yes, Father, right away.
And what of the rubber, Briony, and the Blarney Stone?
Oh, there's nothing to report, Biddy.
And while we wait, the evil deeds go on. Today I saw a man walking in the sun. And the strange part is he did not cast a shadow.
No shadow, huh? Well, what do you think of that, Joe?
I think it's a whale of an act.
Ah, the beer, Father. For you and Biddy.
And none for Mulqueen.
Well, I've been thinking that perhaps Mr. Mulqueen would rather dance if there was someone to ask him. You do dance, Mr. Mulqueen.
Well, I might get by if you leave.
Then I should like to dance with you.
They go together, Briony, like fleas and a dog.
Oh, do they now?
Did Con tell you what happened today?
The prediction? That's a yarn made up for a village girl 500 years ago. How would it count in days like these?
Briony, it's your telephone. Huey Devine, and his voice is as pale as a bucket of lard.
Huey, is it? You'll excuse me, Biddy. It's me official capacity.
A moment later, Briony rushed from the house, jumped on his bicycle, and disappeared. There might have been those who missed him, but not Con and me. By now, we were alone, out in the garden.
So I thought I'd tell you about the lilac bushes, Joe, out here in the garden.
But, Con, there aren't any lilac bushes.
Ah, that's true. For in this part of the country, it is said that the children's breath on the air is perfume enough.
Oh, do you have to believe in every fairy tale you hear? I guess it's nice once in a while, but you overdo it around here, don't you think?
Oh, it's true. But at least we know they're fairy tales. And it's a better way to think of the fields we'll walk in, the sons we'll want, and the men we'll marry.
Hey, how about those men?
Not enough prayers to St. Anne, I suppose.
St. Anne?
Oh, the saint of lovers. All the girls pray to her. It's a short prayer. Please, St. Anne, get me a man.
Where do I get in line?
How do you mean, Joe?
Oh, honey, you're starting to get some action already.
Action?
Well, how could you miss?
Well, what are you planning on, Joe Mulqueen?
Well, back home, they call this making a pitch.
Well, could I ask you now, back home, is there such a thing as a slow pitcher?
You're in love with someone, anyone would know, takes up all your dreaming and makes you sort of glow. I guess you think your laughter covers up your sighs, but you've got a love look in your lovely eyes. Oh, you're in love with someone, anyone I know, like to have his chances, a lucky so-and-so, forever and forever, he'll be loving you naturally. If you're in love with someone like me,
singing is a very rich custom. I like it.
Yeah, well, I guess it's time for Joe to be rolling. Good night, Con.
Good night, Joe.
And by the way, if you get a flash from St. Anne, keep me in mind.
And he sings. Sings like the imprisoned bird of Connemara.
I was in kind of a hurry to get back to the hotel. I had a hunch that if I wasn't too late, I'd find company up in my room.
Now, before you get upset, Mr. Mulqueen, we'll have you know this is an official police visit.
Well, hiya, Huey. Bryony.
We've been searching your room.
Well, if it's the Blarney Stone you're looking for, I'm afraid...
You'll do me the favor to answer me questions. This machine here, what is it?
Oh, that's just a dictaphone machine. You talk into it and it plays back.
Now, that's a pretty scheme.
Would you mind having it play back?
Well, maybe some other time, Bryony.
That's an order. Play it.
Well, we can play a little bit, I guess. You sure you want to hear this?
Play it.
But it's just... Oh, well.
Manhattan Insurance Company, attention, E.L. Larkin. First report on the theft of the Blarney Stone.
Hey, Bryony, it's him. It's his voice.
Keep quiet, Devine.
Arrived on schedule. Made contact immediately with the Cork police.
Hey, the man's a detective.
Play on, Judas Mulqueen.
Proceeding at once to the village where things started getting a little rough. Seems like everybody in town's a little wacky. Well, anyway, the officer in charge is a cute old codger named McNaughton. Doesn't have much talent, though.
Oh, Bryony, I'm filled with despair.
Well, that's about all. Not much else to it.
More.
More? Oh, but it's just routine, you see.
Huey, press the button again.
Doesn't have much talent, though. Doubt if he could find a curve in a pretzel if you furnished him with a blueprint. But he's a sweet old man. Sweet old man. Sweet old man. Sweet old...
He gets stuck like that sometimes. Anyway, that's really all there is to it, you
oh,
see.
Oh, Bryony, your heart must be as heavy as a bag full of anvils.
Oh, I don't blame you for being sore, Bryony, but now that you know we can work together, huh? I'll need your help.
No, you won't. For if you're not wise, Joe Mulqueen, you'll get some other machine that'll make you so. Come on, Huey.
Oh, and then to top it all, Father, last night when Joe sang in the garden.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, don't you see, Father, Biddy O'Devlin's prediction is right.
Biddy O'Devlin. Any properly trained woman would have been dead years ago. And as for Joe Mulqueen, I detest the man.
Oh.
And that's the sum of my observations. Now, bring me my breakfast.
Yes, Father.
Con.
Yes.
Did you say how the neck's condition went?
Oh, I thought you had no interest in...
Oh, I don't. But if you were just now to blot it out, how would it go?
Well, it is said that he will speak in a great voice, the sound of which will come from small places not dreamed of.
Well, I don't believe it. Here I am with a great coin to solve and the daughter of me days talking and listening to predictions. I bid you good morning. I'm going to work.
Now, you heard what Sergeant McNaughton said. Mr. Mulqueen, you've been requested to leave town on the next bus.
Oh, now, wait. I came here to the police station to... Well, after all, cooperating is one thing, but tossing me out of town is quite a switch. What's happened, Briony?
Oh, just changed me mind. And there's no hurry about leaving, just so long as it's immediate.
All right. I hate to leave with that reward and everything, but a fella can't win them all, I guess.
Reward, did you say? Tell me now, what reward is that?
Oh, the usual thing posted by my company, $5,000.
Joe, sit down. Would you like to sit down? Yes, now, and about that reward, you'd be the one to get it, I suppose.
No, not eligible. I just make the recommendation.
Oh, well, then maybe Briony could get it.
Oh, sure, if he finds the Blarney Stone.
$5,000.
Oh, Briony, to be rich. It's a comfort even to the dead.
Of course, we'd have to work on the case together. Now, what do you say?
You're on it.
Okay. Now, first of all, who's on your list of suspects?
Cormac Gillespie.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Well, for one thing, Gillespie was seen on the grounds the night of the robbery.
Well, that's a fair start.
Ah, he's an ugly creation, Joe.
If he had to walk around the world, you wouldn't lend him an old shoe.
But he's the only one who'd stand to profit from the stone being gone.
Oh, how?
He's buying up farms. With all the accidents and the cattle dying and such, it's easy to find those who'll sell for cheap.
Cormac Gillespie has spoke to me cousin already, asking to buy his cattle.
No, I'm afraid it'd never hold, fellas. Well, anyway, dig up all you can on Gillespie, will you?
And nobody's to know you're a detective, right?
Oh, no. Artiste.
Oh, Briony. $5,000. Oh, I'm delirious for you, Briony.
No. Quiet down, Huey, quiet down. Amongst the wealthy, laughter is kept at a respectable pitch.
I spent the rest of the day running a check on Gillespie, but it all added up to zero. Even Briony had to admit it.
Well, maybe you're right, Joe. Maybe Gillespie is innocent. But what would you say to this now? 2 days ago, Gillespie called on Huey's cousin, Thameen, to buy his land. Huey's cousin turned him down. And this afternoon, while you were gone, Huey's cousin died.
Oh, the seizure was very sudden, Joe. His wagon turned over on the road and killed him dead.
Killed him, huh?
Yeah, well, perhaps now certain people will believe in the accident.
If you're wondering, do I think Gillespie killed Thameen? The answer is no.
Oh, it was an accident. But Cormac Gillespie counted on the accident's happening.
I was his only relation, Joe. Oh, my heart's destroyed with the grief of it all.
I don't see any tears, Huey.
Ah, well, now, you see, as Briony can tell you, I'm what you might call it, an internal weeper.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, that's true, Joe. That's true. The tears fall on his insides.
I just saw his will, Briony. Thameen left me everything.
Did he know,
Huey? About the accident, I'd like to see where it happened.
Oh, Joe. Joe, do you mind? I'm that overcome with me loss.
Well, it could wait until some other time.
Hey, could we all have a drink, Briony? It helps with the sorry, you know.
Let's go over to the pub, boys. A nice glass of beer and a word for the woes of the world.
Oh, thank you, Briony, thank you.
There was a telephone in the local saloon. I slipped away from Briony and the bereaved and put in a call for Inspector Fallon. I had a great idea, and if Fallon okayed it, our chances of finding the Blarney Stone might improve considerably. Fallon okayed it. Meanwhile, what about Briony's daughter, Con? Well, right about now, Con was seeing Biddy O'Devlin, her pretty head spinning with 500 years of legend.
And it happened, Biddy, it happened. The fourth prediction. His voice will come forth from small places not dreamed of.
But it's the fifth one that really counts, Con.
Oh, that I love him or no one at all.
And the important part, if your love is returned, he will tread heavily on your heart.
Biddy, to be loved in return, is there no way to guarantee it?
Well, I could put a curse on him.
Oh, no. I don't think a curse would be fair.
Besides, it does little good to curse an American. They never seem to know the difference.
I guess I'll just have to wait. Biddy, will you look out your doorway?
It's himself walking on the road.
Joe Mulqueen, and I'm the favorite of fate. Oh, could you give me a wise word to go on?
Well, now, go to him. And should he hit you in the eye with a lump of coal, it's a sign you're making no progress.
Oh, thank you, Biddy. Thank you.
And may you never have reason, Con, to hear the last and terrible condition that I'm afraid even to speak of.
old church, Joe. Built 700 years ago, along with this little low wall I'm walking on. It's luck to walk on it, they say.
How about sitting down on it?
I would say that's good luck, too. Now help me down before I...
Hey, take it easy.
Oh, the stone, it moved.
Are you all right?
Oh, I told you it was luck. Any other stone, I'd have broken a leg at least. Well, we're sitting, Joe.
You know, I'm going to have to teach you to play post office.
Is it a difficult game to learn?
Not for a natural-born athlete. Say, what about the romance situation around here?
Oh, it's been said of our village that here the greatest pleasures are the reading of books and the kissing of girls.
Keeps a girl pretty busy, huh?
Oh, yes. Unless, of course, she's married to a great reader.
How about you?
Oh, I've been kissed, Joe. 67 times, of course. 30 of the 67 were at fairs and parties and... Well, that hardly counts.
Oh, it's still a fine showing. Fine.
Oh, but there's Maggie O'Shea, who lives down from us, who's been kissed 81 times.
Local record, huh?
Oh, by far.
Would you like to establish a new one?
Oh, yes. I mean, that is...
You're in love with someone anyone would know. Takes up all your dreaming, makes you sort of glow. I guess you think your laughter covers up your sigh, but you've got a love look in your lovely eyes. Oh, 'tis sweet to think that where'er we roam, we are sure to find something blissful and dear. And that when we're far from the lips we love, we have but to make love to the lips we are near. The heart like an ivy accustomed to cling, let it grow where it will, cannot flourish alone, but will lean to the nearest and loveliest thing it can twine with itself and make closely its own. And oh, what pleasure wherever we roam, to be sure to find something still that is dear, and to know when far from the lips we love, we have but to make love. Anyone I know, like to have his chances, the lucky so-and-so.
Forever and forever, he'll be loving me.
Naturally, if you're in love with a someone, like me. We have but to make love to the lips we are near.
By the time I took Con home, Maggie O'Shea was running a poor second. Con invited me to stay for supper.
Oh, I hope you're not starving, Joe. We'll wait to eat till Father gets home.
He's kind of late, isn't he?
Oh, it must be the case. Oh, it's his great opportunity, Joe. And my father was never first or best at anything.
Oh, he's coming now, Con. He's coming up the path.
Will you tell him of us?
If I can squeeze a word in.
Joe's here, Father. We're waiting supper.
It would sit on me stomach like a keg of nails.
Well, aren't you coming in? We've got something to tell you.
Haven't you said enough already, Mr. Mulqueen?
Said enough.
Mr. Mulqueen, did you or did you not telephone Inspector Fallon about a plan?
Well, sure I did, but I...
And did you tell him that you'd have to be careful of me? And that I was a problem?
Oh, now, wait a minute. That isn't what I meant at all.
Well, I've been removed and made assistant. Huey Devine is the new sergeant.
Devine?
Oh, but what has Joe to do with this? I don't understand.
He's a detective, Con. Sent over to find the Blarney Stone.
Oh, Con, now look. If Fallon got jumpy or something, I can fix it.
Will you leave, Joe? Will you please to take yourself out of here?
Con, please.
I'll leave some supper on the back doorstep. That's another one of our silly customs. Supper for a beggar, Joe. A one who is poor in spirit. You have your choice.
I couldn't figure it. Sure, I told Fallon I had a plan, but there was nothing in it about taking Briony's stripes away. And now Fallon had gone back to Cork and wouldn't return until morning. Meanwhile, old Biddy O'Devlin had a visitor.
Why should I have listened to him, Biddy?
Because Joe Mulqueen's the one you chose.
Well, the prediction's done and it's of matter to no one.
Except for the last condition, Con.
It's been fulfilled.
A last one beyond that. A condition I've had no breath for.
You'll have to say it, Biddy.
Aye. If you should turn him out of your house, and that you've done, he'll go to the wood of Cali. There a song will be sung in the light of the moon, and your man will die.
No. No, that's not true. Oh, what's to be done, Biddy?
Being a part of the prediction, neither you nor I can warn him. Would do no good.
Oh, there must be some way to keep him from the wood of Cali.
If you were to pray, you might do it.
I will. I will. Pray until me knees hurt.
Do. And then pray sitting down until you get the same result. There a song will be sung by the light of the moon. And your man will die.
I kept pretty busy the next day, and by the time Inspector Fallon arrived in the village, I had a couple of interesting items to tell him.
Angry about Mulqueen.
That nice little parley you put over. On account of you, Briony McNaughton's been demoted and I lose my gal.
I've told you what we thought of the old man. Now, what have you found out?
Well, Inspector, I've been out in the country, that spot in the road where Huey Devine's cousin was killed.
Well?
You're right, Fallon. It wasn't an accident. That cart was pushed over. On my way back, I had a little confab with an old gal named Biddy O'Devlin. We cooked up an idea how we can swing it tonight. Only McNaughton plays or we don't play at all.
Okay. You need any help in the meantime?
Got all I need. Biddy O'Devlin's for the light work and a kid named Pierce O'Neill for the heavy duty.
Plus McNaughton. A small boy, an old woman, and a man with rheumatism. Can you think of anything worse?
No, but I'll work on it. See you tonight, Fallon. Staring into the fire with the law of the land gathered around her.
I'm ready to begin now.
Just tell us about the Blarney Stone, Biddy. Where is it?
Now, Briony, there's no need to rush the good woman.
It was stolen to cover up a black deed. And the black deed was the killing of the cousin of Huey Devine.
Actually, like I always suspected, Cormac Gillespie.
With the stone gone, accidents were sure to follow. And the death of the cousin could seem an accident like any of the rest.
Hey, what's that?
That's the warning from Pierce.
Warning, Joe?
Ah, oh, you didn't let the lad sing.
He was to let us know if someone was heading here.
And who would be heading here, Huey? But call me Gillespie.
Gillespie?
All right, boys. Let's get him.
Come on now.
I was right. I was right. Gillespie.
Yes, the plan was working out as scheduled. Gillespie stood in the moonlight just long enough to be recognized, then darted off into the darkness of the woods. We all followed. All except Briony. You see, our plan was to have Bryony slip back into the cottage and wait there. Wait until we heard another warning from Pierce.
Yui.
Did I scare you, Pierce? It's a sweet voice you have, boy.
That rock. Yui, no.
A sweet voice to charm an ear. Or give a warning.
Please, Yui. Please. Let me go.
You'll sing no more in the wood of Kali.
Come in, Huey.
You leave me no choice, Biddy. You know, don't you?
It wasn't Gillespie. You killed him, Huey. You killed your cousin.
I brought a length of rope for you, Biddy. I'll do it swift.
Just stand
I promise.
Where you are.
Bryony! Oh, Bryony, they played a terrible trick on me.
Did you need your cousin's money that badly?
Oh, for dressing up, Bryony, and traveling. Oh, should the sceneries a man could behold if he only had the money.
Drop it, Huey. Drop the poker.
Oh, you're the friend of me days, Bryony. Stay away. Please, Bryony, please.
That's better. Joe, Inspector. You can come in now.
Good work, McNaughton. You're right, Mrs. O'Devlin.
Oh, it's a night to discuss for 100 years.
But you'll not find the Blarney Stone. I'll not give you that pleasure.
We'll find it. Dylan, you and Frank, take him out of the car.
Oh, Bryony. Bryony, I'm terrible alone. I'm terrible alone. Bryony!
No. Where could he have hidden that stone?
If a man is wise, he hides a loaf of bread in a bakery. And a monk in a monastery.
It's a cinch, Fallon. All you have to do is search every stone quarry in Ireland.
But if you... Mulqueen, the boy Pierce, where is he? Why hasn't he returned?
I told him to come back just as soon as
Hugh he... Devine. He must have found him in the wood.
Oh, love you, quickly now. Follow me.
There's a saying, or there should be, that nothing in the world's softer than an Irishman's heart, or harder than his head. When we found Pierce, he was sitting up, rubbing his head and wondering what it was all about.
I wouldn't believe it. Not a mark. Your head, boy. How's your head?
No better, no worse than most, Mrs. O'Devlin. Did I do as you wanted, Joe?
Oh, you were great, Pierce.
Well, it's late, Joe Mulqueen, and me mother will want me. Good night to you all.
Good night, Pierce.
Good night, lad. Good night.
Joe. Joe, has anything happened to you?
It's calm.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, but Biddy said
it was the boy, Pierce O'Neill, did the singing, Con.
Oh, then the last condition, Biddy, it's untrue.
The prediction is true to the last word. The song will be sung in the wood of Cali. It will be interrupted by violence, and the song will never be finished by man.
He's still singing, your ears, woman.
So, not by man, but finished in the hills by the boy. O'Neill.
We took Biddy back to her cottage, then started the walk back through the woods to the village.
Hey, what's the matter, Rainey? Are you walking too fast for you?
Joe, you and Con go ahead. Me and the inspector. I will sit down on the wall here and find our breath. The exertions of the evening, you know.
Ah, oh, we'll walk slowly, Father.
And I don't mind admitting I'm a little winded myself.
Con, are you sure your father's all right? After all, he's...
Oh, there are times, Joe, when I wonder how you ever got to be a detective investigator.
What?
Well, there's an old man back there who only thought we'd rather walk alone.
Why, that sly old...
Father! Father, what's happened
to you? I was in the wall.
Hey, how come you're sitting on the ground?
I'm sitting on the ground because I was sitting on the wall when it tumbled me off.
Joe, look, the same stone and the same wall, the same one I slipped on yesterday.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, strange. A loose stone in a wall that stood firm for 700 years.
Holy smoke, it's the stone. The stone, Fallon, the Blarney Stone.
It's what?
Well, look at it.
Well, I can't. Brian, he's sitting on it.
Oh, you'd better get up, Father.
Well, if that's the Blarney Stone, then I've just touched it.
Fallon, will you look? You've got the description, haven't you?
Joe, that's it. That's it.
Now, what do you know about that?
Oh, Father, you're a hero.
Oh, about the reward, Joe. Sitting on the stone that way, now, wouldn't you nearly have to tell them that I found it?
Who else?
Well, congratulations, McNaughton. And about your old job as sergeant. You are reinstated.
No, 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 I think not, Inspector. You see, the reward I spoke of, it wouldn't look well for a sergeant to be a wealthy millionaire.
Well, think it over, McNaughton. I've got to find a wagon and a block and tackle.
You know, Con, seeing you and Joe now, I don't mind the prediction so much after all.
But I don't need a prediction to marry. For I've kissed him, Father. And Joe's the one.
I didn't even know it was an audition.
Well, now, just remember that you're going to marry an heiress. I've read about it in books, but it's grand to see.
When you're strolling down the Boreen, that means the lane, a friendly brook will sing you this sweet refrain. Caed me la falcha and slancha to you, and the top of the marnin too.
When it's early in the A-rock, that means the spring.
What's that effect?
The birds are glad to see you. Here's what they sing.
Caed
me la falcha and slancha too.
And the top of the marnin too. Oh, it's great how they greet you in Ireland. Learn the words so you won't have to guess. It's a toast to your health for one thing, and 100,000 welcomes no less.
In your heart you're feeling Shaneworth, that means okay.
And if you meet a Colleen, here's what you say. Caed me la falcha and slancha to you, and the top of the morning too.
In a minute, our stars will return.
Safe Lux Flakes. Lux gives your stockings gentle care. Gives your stockings double wear. Safe Lux Flakes.
Nylons washed the Lux Flakes way last twice as long, the experts say.
Everywhere a lady goes, it's hard on stockings, hard on hose. Starting, stopping, driving, shopping. Stretch, strain. Stretch, strain. Everywhere a lady goes, it's hard on stockings, hard on hose. Stretch, strain, stretch, strain.
Scientific strain tests show that stockings washed the gentle Lux Flakes way last twice as long. Now here's Mr. Keeley with our stars.
Sure, and here they are for their curtain call. Dennis Day, Ann Blythe, and Barry Fitzgerald. Barry, we haven't seen you here in a long time. Where have you been?
Oh, me? Oh, well, that's a ridiculous question.
Sure, and your name is Barry.
Where else would I have been but in Ireland?
Ah, Barry, but you're the clever one there.
Now, were you making a picture of visiting friends?
Well, I both. I went to Ireland to make the John Ford production, The Quiet Man.
And what part do you play in the picture, Barry? The Quiet Man?
Well, did anyone know me to be quiet?
I did.
I'm a Shahran.
A Shahran. And now what is that, please?
Well, it's something you could use, my girl. A Shahran arranges marriages for young people.
Oh.
Well, here we have something different, Barry. It's called Leap Year.
Oh, better than that. We have something called Lux Toilet Soap. Used faithfully every day, it makes a girl's complexion irresistible.
Then we know you're single by choice, Anne, because you're one of our loveliest Lux girls.
Hey, how about me?
Why, do you use Lux soap, Dennis?
Sure, and look at me. I got two shows.
And I understand you'll have a very special guest on your television show next Friday night, Dennis.
Yeah, poor fellow. He's only got one show.
Oh.
He has to take in laundry to make ends meet.
Ah, the poor fella. And bless your generous heart, Dennis. Who is he now?
A song plugger named Jack Benny.
Bedad, that's a terrible calamity. Now, what's on for next week here, Bill?
Next week we'll have a story that's particularly appropriate for this season of the year. It's one that you requested again and again. Come to the Stable. And from the original cast of this moving 20th Century Fox drama of modern faith and inspiration will be Loretta Young and Hugh Marlowe.
Oh, it's a beautiful story, Bill. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and Erin Dobrah. You know, there's been a lot of talk tonight about the wearing of the green, but here's John Kennedy to tell you something of both green and new.
Here's proof that new green Chlorodent toothpaste gives you a clean, fresh mouth all day long. The January Reader's Digest presents facts revealing why Chlorodent, the amazing new toothpaste with magic chlorophyll, gives you the most effective deodorizing action ever discovered.
Reader's Digest reports tests which showed why Chlorodent is 50% more effective in combating mouth odors as compared with a toothpaste without chlorophyll.
Yes, by brushing your teeth with Chlorodent regularly, preferably after meals, you can have a clean, fresh mouth, not just for minutes, but all day long. Because Chlorodent contains chlorophyll, nature's greatest purifier. Chlorodent fights tooth decay, common gum troubles, too. Chlorodent gives you complete mouth care in a single product.
Buy a tube and see for yourself why Chlorodent, the chlorophyll dentifrice, is winning friends faster than any other toothpaste in America.
Lever Brothers Company unconditionally guarantee the quality and performance of Lux Toilet Soap, Lux Flakes, Chlorodent Toothpaste, as presented on this program, or your money back. Now we invite you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Loretta Young and Hugh Marlowe in Come to the Stable. This is William Keeley saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
Anne Blythe appeared through the courtesy of Universal International Pictures, now releasing Flesh and Fury, co-starring Tony Curtis, Jan Sterling, and Mona Freeman. This is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear Come to the Stable, starring Loretta Young and Hugh Marlowe. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Lux Radio Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast on CBS from March 17, 1952. And the curtain comes down on this episode of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.